Proverbs 31, verse 10. So an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for her household, and for her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. And then turn with me just the other page, chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord my God. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of having you speak to us. Thank you for giving us this word in print through the pens of men and women of old. But thank you also that you speak to us now in the present as you speak to our hearts and you bring these things alive by your Holy Spirit. And we do ask that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say to us at this time, and particularly at this time in our nation, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're busy with a series called Streetwise, which is wisdom from Proverbs. And Proverbs, as you know, was mainly penned by King Solomon, supposedly the wisest king of all time, and probably the richest man in the world who's probably ever lived, was Solomon. So we would think that he could teach us a thing or two about work and wealth. And this is a very relevant topic in our nation right now. And I'm sure you've seen on television the upset that many of the students are having around our nation. And that upset is primarily around these issues about the distribution of wealth in our land and how the wealth seems to be concentrated in the hands of a few, and particularly a white minority, and how poverty seems to be the lot of the black majority. That's a big issue in our nation right now, and which lies behind a lot of the sort of racial rhetoric that is happening right now in our nation. And so when we start to look at work and wealth, we're starting to touch on some of the real things that are at the core of our nation and have been at the core of our nation right from the beginning, right from when people came to this land and started to discover things like gold and diamonds. And the desire for wealth has been something that we as a nation have had to battle against, because it's right in our very hearts. This whole thing of wealth has been something how we have defined ourselves as a people and has brought lots of conflict and lots of trouble to our nation. So I think it's a relevant topic for us to look at together. And as I went through Proverbs, I've certainly learned a lot. And when I was in just starting out in business in 2000, the year 2000, God spoke to Roseanne and I and said, read Proverbs, because we were starting three businesses. And God said, read Proverbs and get that into your heart. And certainly we did that. We read Proverbs and became convinced of some things, of the particularly of the rich reward that you can get from hard work and diligence, that if you're steady in your work, if you constantly work at it and there's a gradual accumulation of wealth and skills, that God will richly reward you, that He's a God who is faithful to those who work hard. You saw in the passage we read about the lady, the wife of good repute, the noble wife, how she wakes up early and her lamp burns late into the night. She works hard. It's not 4:30, we're going home. You know, it's home time. No, it's hard work. We're working from early morning to late at night. And certainly as an entrepreneur, I've found that to be a reality and something that one has had to do. And so Proverbs reveals actually quite a complex relationship between work and wealth, between poverty and slothfulness and righteousness and unrighteousness and the ways in which one gathers wealth. And it's not as simple as it seems at first. It's not that the righteousness and hard work simply lead to wealth and wickedness and laziness simply lead to poverty. One can get that as that one can assume that when one just reads some of the verses. But as you go deeper, you start to discover it's a bit more complex than that. That if that were the case, then the rich would be all good and the poor would be all skellums and tzotzis. And as we know very well, tzotzis occur in high places too. So it's not as simple as it appears. So we certainly know by experience that this thing is a complex thing. And at the end of the day, what Proverbs has to say about work and wealth is that God rewards hard work and righteous work. But whether you are rich or whether you are poor, the real benefit is found in working as if you're working to the Lord and trusting the Lord and not your wealth. If you have Him at the center, then you will be generous to others, particularly to the poor, and you will be blessed in every way. That's the message of Proverbs. Let me say it again. At the end of the day, what Proverbs has to say about work and wealth is that God rewards hard work and righteous work, but whether you're rich or poor, the real benefit is found in working as if you're working for the Lord and trusting the Lord, not your wealth. If you have Him at the center, then you will be generous to others, particularly the poor, and you will be blessed in every way. So it's not a simplistic picture that Proverbs provides, but a complex one of the relationship between wealth and poverty, righteousness and hard work, wickedness and laziness. But what I want to suggest, Proverbs gets it right in reflecting the reality of our everyday lives, which are quite complex. So let's try to summarize what Proverbs is saying. There are 135 verses in Proverbs that relate to wealth and work. 114 of them are beside that passage I read you about the woman who fears the Lord. So there are a lot of verses, a lot of Proverbs that speak about wealth and work. And I have a couple of points which kind of summarize, actually 4 points that summarize what the book is saying about wealth and work. So my first point, if you're taking notes, is the curse of poverty and the blessing of wealth. That's point number one, the curse of poverty and the blessing of wealth. The second point is poverty is an outcome of laziness and wealth is an outcome of hard work. That's point number two. Point number three that Proverbs make is, but poverty is not always an outcome of laziness and wickedness. And wealth is not always the outcome of righteousness and hard work. And then number four, the last point that we're going to go through today, at the end of the day, it is who we are serving and where we place our trust that is the real measure of whether we are wise in this area of poverty, of work and wealth. Okay, so let's start with the first point, the curse of poverty and the blessing of wealth. When one reads the verses to do with wealth and poverty in Proverbs, one of the first things that you notice is that poverty is a curse and wealth is of great benefit. There are many verses about this. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the poverty of the poor is their ruin, says chapter 20, verse 15. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Chapter 14, verse 20. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. 18, verse 11. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends. And certainly we can see that in our society. And I think a lot of people experience that. A lot of people experience the curse of poverty and of how it brings you a bad name in your community. And how wealth, certainly the outward show of wealth, brings you great honor in your community. Often what we see in our society is someone gets a new job, maybe with government or maybe with a corporate sector, and the very first thing they do is what? Go and buy a very nice car. Why? Why do you buy a very nice car right at the outset? It's often a car that is costing you more than your bond on your house is costing you. It's costing, why? Because people can see it. It's obvious to everyone that you've made it. You've come of age. And not only does it bring you great honor in your community, but it also brings your family great honor. So your family, ha, la, 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 when you come back, the BMW drives up the driveway. It's so exciting. Why? Because wealth can bring honor. And poverty and being seen to be poor is a terrible thing. And something particularly in societies where there has been great oppression, like we are society under apartheid, which keep people really oppressed. And like Russia, the same situation is in Russia. The nouveau riche, the driving force of the whole community is we don't want to be seen to be poor. We want to be seen to be rich. We want to be seen to have made it. We want to be seen to be okay, because that's what makes us okay. And so we can see that in our society. It's a curse to be poor, and it's a great blessing to be wealthy. And so if that's the case, how does one avoid poverty and become wealthy? And that's what everyone is after. And certainly a lot of our churches in South Africa blossom when they preach about that. So the health wealth preaching in our community is so big because people don't want to be poor. They want to be wealthy. And if your church can tell you how to be wealthy, well, that's the church to go to. That's the church to be at. And often it's unfortunately become skewed in its attention to those things. So, well, that brings me to my second point. How do we become wealthy? How do we avoid poverty? Well, point number two, poverty is the outcome of laziness. And wealth is the outcome of hard work. This is a message that Proverbs tells us again and again. Proverbs provides strong advice that laziness and addiction leads to poverty, and hard work and growing one's gifts and skills leads to wealth. There are 33 verses in Proverbs that say laziness or addictions lead to poverty. The first one that occurs is, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man." I think it says it fairly straight, doesn't it? Another verse, it says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." There's another verse that speaks about how the sluggard puts his hand to the bowl and is so lazy he can't even bring it back to his mouth. So the Proverbs is harsh upon laziness, upon slovenliness. And there are 20 verses that also speak about hard work and diligence bringing wealth. And one is, "The hand of the diligent will rule, and the slothful will be put to forced labor." So, and we certainly see this in our society, don't we? We see people who are, and it also speaks about addiction. It speaks about taking much wine and you'll end up in poverty. And certainly alcoholism in our communities is a lot to do with that. Often you go around in communities and you see the guys who are down and out and kind of hanging around, and they're drinking all weekend and they've got nothing to do. And it's a tragedy in our society. But also you also see it not just in those who are completely down and out. You know, the people who are obvious and you can see it on their faces. You also see it in offices that you go and visit. See the person, you know, spending the morning eating chicken when they should be doing their work, you know. Or as I had an experience not so long ago. I was at an institution that will go unnamed. And we had been given money by lotto. The institution had been given money by lotto for us to digitize a whole lot of posters and maps. And we they told us late. They told us kind of just into November that by the end of November we need this thing done. So it was, and by the time we actually got to the institution, it was the last 3 days of November. And if you can't get it done by the last 3 days of November, the money's gone, because that's how lotto works. So we went there and set up into the night. To 1 a.m. in the morning, I set up this whole infrastructure, and we started to digitize the next day. And then there were problems. They ran out of, they weren't giving us enough content. So we came back the next week and we worked from early morning to late at night. And on that day, one of the people who was in charge of a particular collection, which is really a nice collection and should have been digitized, came to me at 4:30 on that Monday and said, "It's 4:30, we're going now. And we're taking all our posters." I said, "But, you know, we've kind of been setting up to do this, and, you know, it won't take long." And I, you know, really, really worked hard to, no, it's 4:30. I said, "But what time do you close?" "Oh, some of us go home at 5 and some at 4:30. "Oh, it's 5. We've got half an hour. Can you give us half an hour?" And then they looked around at each other and the other person said to her, "Well, I'm not staying till 5:30 or to 5 o'clock. I'm going now." And she said, "So am I." And off they went. Off they went. So it was the deadline for lotto was that night. So we carried on, but we scratched around. We had to find other stuff. And we got the quota by 12 o'clock that night. we worked till midnight. But it wasn't of the stuff that should have been digitized. It was stuff that we scratched around for. So you see that even where people are employed and they're professionals, supposedly, they don't necessarily take this to heart. What I wanted to say to that lady, because she said at one point to me, she said, I'm a government employee. You can't expect me to work overtime, can you? What I wanted to say to her, but I held my tongue, was that my dad was a government employee for 40 years. I would never have had this conversation with him because he did always work overtime. He was saving people's lives. You see, it's your attitude that changes, and your attitude can bring you poverty. Even if you are wealthy, you can have a poverty mentality. And that, friends, is a poverty mentality. And God has not called us to a poverty mentality. God has called us to work as unto the Lord. Not for men. Not for our salary. Not for our bosses. As unto the Lord. Okay. So the second thing I notice, also on this point is that often it's excuses that bring poverty. Procrastination. I mean, there are verses that speak about the slothful man says that there's a lion outside. In other words, he doesn't want to go outside to do anything because maybe there's a lion. And certainly in my own life, I've seen that, is that the procrastination is the killer of so much production. And, you know, you've always got an excuse not to start. You've always, I'll do it tomorrow. Or particularly as a student, I find, you know, when I was a student, this is what I do. I only do my essay the night before or whatever it might be. So, and I'm sure you experience, you, or maybe you don't experience that. Maybe you're always on time, but I certainly know that. And so if these points are true, if in our society that we can see that actually hard work, diligence brings wealth, and slothfulness or laziness brings poverty, well then poverty is a curse and wealth is a blessing. And laziness tends to poverty, and we can see that in our society. And hard work brings to wealth. Well, if that was just the case, well, then we could write the poor off, and we could honor the rich. Because the rich ones are the hardworking ones, and the poor are the foolish ones. Fortunately, that's not the case. Well, it's not the case in reality, and it's not the case in Proverbs. Proverbs see it's more complex than that. And so that brings us to our third point. But poverty is not always the outcome of laziness and wickedness, and wealth is not always the outcome of righteousness and hard work. Proverbs has a huge amount to say about the fact that wealth can be gathered by devious means, by corruption, by wickedness, by unjust scales. So it speaks a lot about the scales being unjust. Because in the old days, you'd measure things on scales. And if you take the weight and you say it's 1 kilogram, but actually you've made it 800 grams, you're selling the person 800 grams and not 1 kilogram of grain or whatever it might be. And so unjust scales, God hates, the Bible says. Bribes and so on. There are 23 verses that warn us against this. And it says in chapter 10, verse 2, says, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. 11, verse 16, a gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. So you can gather riches by violence. You can do it by unjustness. But the Bible says, ultimately, such riches will not last. They come and they go. And they also bring great stress. Chapter 13, verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. I was recently digitizing some materials together with Kaniso at a very rich man's house. He extremely rich man's house. This rich man has 36 gods. They work in three shifts of 8 hour shifts. 12 guards on each shift. Yeah, security guards round the clock to protect him and his family. Why? Because the ransom of a man's life is his wealth. That man is a target for kidnapping and so on, and his family would be so also. And so also the Bible then speaks about, well, poverty is not all bad. Just because you're poor, it's not necessarily bad. In fact, it's better to be poor with righteousness and integrity than wealthy with unrighteousness and strife. So it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. 15 verse 16. And we see in our society that wealth is often gained by wickedness. But that is also not sustainable. It's going to find you out. You're going to be brought to account one day. And certainly we've seen it recently in events. And we've seen the upholding of by the Constitutional Court of the law in this regard just recently. And you will be found out. You will be brought to account. Even if in this life you don't, God will hold you to account ultimately at the end of the day. So wickedness does not bring long-lasting wealth. It brings quick wealth and then it goes. Comes and it goes. Whereas long-lasting wealth that is built in faithfulness comes from having the Lord as our goal and building incrementally. And we also see among our poor people, and certainly in our communities, I know many of the poor folk that I've encountered, you know, just recently going down with Paul to the Eastern Cape where Benson was, so much faith. People have nothing but so much faith in the Lord, so much trust in the Lord. They're rich in faith. And so that's what Proverbs is saying. Actually, you can be poor but rich in faith. And that's much better than being wealthy and poor in faith. And so it's a much more complex picture than what we would immediately assume and what the world assumes about wealth and poverty. And so what is wisdom? How do we get it right? And so that brings me to my final point, point four. At the end of the day, it's who you are serving and where you place your trust that is the real measure of whether or not you are wise in the area of work and wealth. There are 19 verses that call us to do righteousness in gathering of wealth. And often it says, grow wealth slowly and incrementally. Don't be in a rush to grow wealth. Do the little things well and God will bless you. And though that kind of wealth will last down the generations. You know, when I first started our business, Africa Media Online, kind of early days in our business, we won quite a large grant from government it was funded by the European Union through a program called Gijima. And it provided lots of money, over 5 million rand at that time, for us to do a huge project, which we had conceived, massive project. And we grew our staff to fulfill the demands of that project to 32. We were 32 staff in the midst of that project. But we grew too quickly and we couldn't handle it. And there was lots of wastage. We weren't as efficient as we should have been. And so by kind of toward the end of that project, we realized and also the income we thought we were going to get from doing the activity, so because the project was meant to, you do a whole lot of activity, you grow your assets, and then that can bring income going down the line. Well, that income didn't materialize, not to the extent that we suspected it to, and it was much lower. So here we had this huge bloated staff, and not without the income to sustain it, and so we basically hit the wall at the end of the day, and we couldn't sustain it. So we had to reduce from 32 staff down to 10 staff in order to carry on. And we scraped through simply because we got another project. Otherwise, we would have actually crashed the whole business. And that's the reality of often what can happen to one if one grows too quickly or or is in a rush for wealth. Not that we did anything evil or bad in the midst of that, but that it's often hard to manage. It's often hard to do that. And so the Bible says things like, the blessing of the Lord brings rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. I just love that verse. The blessing of the Lord makes you wealthy, and he adds no sorrow to it. Well, because often wealth brings sorrow, terrible sorrow. But the blessing of the Lord doesn't. And then another one I love. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. And there it is. The sustainability of true riches that come from the Lord is a gift from God. And the unsustainability of trying to become rich on your own account and focusing on becoming wealthy. And really this comes back to the primary point of Proverbs. And that is, in Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the fear of the Lord. That's really what true wisdom is. And that's kept me going over the years. There have been many times in our business where I've actually been full of fear. I remember a time when we were trying to get business from a large government institution. And I was aware that the decision maker in that institution was getting her nephew or some relative to try and get the business instead of us. And that nephew or relative came along secretly to Africa Media Online and tried to offer my main guy to come across to him. The head of my digitization unit, he offered him and said, come across and we'll do this together. We'll get all this business. And fortunately, Magloire laughed at him and said, you can't do this. This is a very difficult business. And in fact, the guy eventually came to me and said, how do I do this business? I said, well, first of all, you probably need startup capital in the region of 2 million rand. Just to be able to get the machines or so. And we had a chat. I try to be as open and straight. Fortunately, I never saw him after that. But the temptation in moments like that is a temptation to great anxiety and to try and make a plan and to try and be as manipulative and as devious as other people around one. And actually, one needs to just keep focused on God, because God, and this is the promise of God. You keep going incrementally. You work hard. You study. You improve your skills. You do the things that, even though others may be seeming like they're profiting around you, you keep going, and yours will be sustainable in the long run, and theirs won't be. And so that's really helped me in the midst of doing business in these days. And there's a verse that speaks about him, he who's a skillful man, he will appear before kings. And certainly that's been the case in my situation, as we've applied ourselves to being skilled in what we're doing and doing it excellently. So actually we've got to present before President Zuma, and we've got to stand before really people who are of high repute, because our work is skillful, and because we've applied ourselves to the little things, to getting it right in the small matters. You know, the Bible speaks about he who is faithful with little will become faithful with much. And at the end of the day, the outcome of all this, if your focus is on the Lord and on what he's doing, and actually becoming wealthy is not the goal. I don't want to be wealthy. I want to serve God. Wealth is a byproduct of that. Serve God. Then actually you can be generous, because it's not my work or my effort or my business acumen or my skill that makes me wealthy. No, it's the Lord who makes me wealthy. And if he gave me freely, how I can give freely to others? Of course I can. Benson read that verse about He who gives their first fruits to the Lord will be richly rewarded. And so on. So always giving, being able to give, being able to be generous is a wonderful thing. And that's what we see in this woman in Proverbs 31. She's skilled. She works hard. She's applied herself. She gets up early, goes to bed late. She does all the right things. She's honorable in her work. She is creative in her work. But she also gives to the poor. It says she opens her hand to the poor and reaches her hands to the needy. And the Bible is full, and Proverbs is full of how God will richly reward you when you give to the poor. And that God will support and defend the poor. That those who abuse the poor, God will come back and take away from them. And so we see a very clear picture of how God is for us as we serve Him in these things. And really that brings us to the final, my concluding point. And really our prayer at the end of the day should be that of the Agur, son of Jake. And we read his prayer. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And really that's where the Bible brings us. Friends, we're called to dependence on God. And like Paul could say in the New Testament, whether I have plenty or I'm in want, I've learned to be content. And friends, that's really what the Bible calls us to be content, whether in need or whether in plenty, but to serve the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, all our strength, everything that we have, all our skill. We're not working for our boss. We're not working for the government. We're not working for anyone else. We're not even working for ourselves. We're working as unto the Lord for the pleasure of the glory of His name. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You. Thank You for the privilege of work. Thank You for the privilege of skills. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us these things, Lord, to serve You, to honor Your name. And Lord, we just pray that we would use these gifts, use these skills well. I pray for those here who feel their poverty every day. I pray, God, that You would help them to know, to have a long view of it. To be able to say, God, I'm going to be faithful with the little You've given me. And know, God, that You will give them much in the years to come. I pray for patience and faithfulness. I pray each one of us would not be in a rush to be rich, but rather that we'd be in a rush to serve You, to be faithful towards You, to honor You in everything we do, to put our hand to work hard. Lord, not just biding away the hours and wishing that we could go home or wishing we could be on weekend. Lord, I pray, God, You would save us from that. That those in this community will be highly honored in the years to come because they've put this into practice. Because they've learned to work with all their might as unto the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.